Light the candle, Tiger!
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer, and we've got two great events this week. We've got Quail Hollow for the Wells Fargo Championship and the China Open as well. So hopefully Steve is armed with lots of tips and winners. But first, before we look at this week's action, let's have a little recap. First of all, Steve, it's good news that you're still here, because I mean, you could be ripped from the Postcast arms at any moment, because young Tiger's due out fairly soon, isn't he, mate?
Yeah, absolutely. Due on the May the 6th. So, I'm red alert at the moment.
You don't have to say May the 6th anymore. You can say Monday. Or is it Sunday or Monday?
Saturday. Monday, I think that, isn't it? Monday, I think, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Monday. Yeah, okay. Bank holiday.
Yeah. I'm hoping he comes out on May the 4th, because that is Rory McIlroy's birthday. So that's a good foundation for a good golfer. So,
but the only thing is he'll have tossers going, "May the 4th be with you," throughout his life, won't he? Which is
a bit of
a hardship. But anyway, Steve, and you'll take a little break from the Postcast when the little fella comes out, won't you?
Yeah. Hopefully it won't happen in the next hour. Graham Woods was saying, might have to put the balloon up. And did they put the balloon up when BBC goes off air or something?
I don't know that.
Yeah. So, it could happen right this second. I'd have to depart. But
would you? Okay. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully we've got you for the next half hour or so. Let's look back to what happened last week. The Zurich Classic, that pairs event, was won by Big Johnny Rahm and Ryan Palmer. Do you think Ryan Palmer's karma, if you don't mind the rhyme, than John Rahm. Do you think that helped just chill John Rahm out, Steve, or did they just play better golf?
No, I think you're right. I think Palmer's seen it all before, and he's an old man of the circuit. And I think he did do a good job keeping Rahm on the, in good mental shape. I mean, and the caddies as well. I mean, the caddies were instrumental in getting those two together. The caddies are great friends. It was their idea that they played together, and I think the caddies worked really well together. And Rahm was good, wasn't he, in the foursomes? Really,
I didn't see it. I must admit, I didn't see any of it at all, mate. I mean, I'm just thinking, probably when John Rahm said, when someone said to him, like, "Do you want to play with Ryan Palmer?" John Rahm's probably a bit sort of, if it was Tinder, he would have swiped left, or swiped. Which one do you do there?
I don't know. I've never had a bash on that. You seem to know all about it, Bruce.
No.
Previously, he played with Wesley Bryan. Wesley Bryan is injured. He's recovering from an operation. So Wesley Bryan was a pretty poor partner, but John Rahm is good mates with him. So, this was actually a slight upgrade for John Rahm. And they'll stick together now. I mean, Jordan Spieth is the interesting one, because Jordan Spieth played with Ryan Palmer last year, and now Ryan Palmer would not be interested in getting back with Jordan Spieth, will he? So,
no, of course he wouldn't. Well, no one would be. I mean, Spieth's gone up the game, isn't he?
Well, this is it. Yeah, no, it's fascinating. But Palmer and Rahm have already said they're back together for next year. So, long may they enjoy a happy relationship.
Excellent. And Jorge Campillo, not a regular winner on the European Tour, got the job done in Morocco, didn't he? Was there anything there that caught your eye apart from Jordan Smith flattering to deceive? That was a bit disappointing, wasn't it?
Yeah, first round leader, made 7 birdies in the first round, and then only made a total of another 7 birdies from Friday through Sunday. So, we got a little teaser there. Campillo, he's been very unimpressive in contention previously, and, he fell over the line there. I was just pleased Sean Crocker and Eric Van Ruin. If either of those two had won, I would have been gutted, because they were both very, very much on my radar for that one. But, Crocker, impressive. I think Crocker's got a big future ahead of him. And I like him this week, actually.
Oh, right. Okay, well, let's go straight into this week then. And we'll start with the Wells Fargo Championship at lovely Quail Hollow. Do they still have that? Is it the 18th that's got like a beautiful little brook running through the middle of the fairway, Steve?
Yeah, then the left side. Yeah. It's a really, really tough finish. The Green Mile, they know it as, don't they? 16, 17, 18. Really, really tough finish. But Jason Day made 2 birdies in the closing 3 holes last year to take the title. So fantastic effort from Jason Day there. But yeah, we've been at Quail Hollow since 2003 now. Really has become part of the US Tour, our staple diet.
Yeah.
And the USPGA was staged there in 2017. Justin Thomas won that. So, we've got 16 years of course form to get stuck into this week.
And if I just give you the last few winners, so he's kind of trying to build a picture of who might go. Well, Jason Day won it last year. Brian Harman the year before. John Hahn at 500-1 the previous year.
No. Sorry. I hate, but Brian Harman was at a different course just because they played
they played that Eagle Point. Okay, forget that then. Okay, so John, is it John Hahn?
James
Hahn. He won in 2016. Rory won it in 2015 at 100-30. JB Holmes. Is he called Derek Ernst?
Derek Ernst, yeah.
Derek Ernst won it. Blimey, you couldn't have got him in a month of Sundays. And then Ricky Fowler. He won it in 2012. So who's going to win it in 2019, Steve?
2019, Ricky Fowler is going to win it. I think he'll get his second US Tour victory of the year. Quail Hollow, very happy hunting ground for Fowler. His maiden US Tour title came here in 2012. He won a three-man playoff for that. Rory McIlroy was one of his playoff victims there.
Who was the other one?
The other one was...
DA Points.
DA Points. DA Points. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I got there in the end. Yeah, we loved DA Points, didn't we? Yeah, brilliant birdie to see off those two. And then, it's always... the scene of your first win is always there. You're always going to get positive vibes there. And in the days when I used to be good at golf tipping, I tipped Barrett 50-1 for that tournament because he'd already shown a liking for the layout previously. On his debut there, he finished sixth in 2010. 16th the following year, and then after his victory the fun continued. He was fourth in 2016, and in that USPGA that I've already mentioned, he finished fifth in that. So bundles of Quail Hollow form for Fowler. He's been extremely bright this year, finally laid the Phoenix Open ghost to rest. I mean, that was a tournament where he'd blown lots of great chances previously, got the job done there in February, and then a month later he almost won the Honda Classic, beaten by a shot in the Honda Classic. So lively form this year. Last time out, really liked what I saw at the Masters. He was calm and composed throughout, four under par rounds, a seven under par weekend at Augusta. So I like what I'm seeing from Fowler now. He turned 30 in December. I think he's going to start racking up lots more US Tour wins. And Quail Hollow is a perfect fit for me. You were a good all-rounder at Quail Hollow. It's a difficult track, puts demands on every department of your game, and Fowler hasn't got any chinks in his armour.
Okay, let's banish all that silly when I was good at golf tipping nonsense, right? I know it's been a difficult year, but you're the same tipster you ever were. It goes like that in golf, doesn't it, Steve? You know, it's not like racing or football where you're going to be providing a steady stream of winners. You are going to have barren runs. We know that, don't we? But it sounds like you're keeping your peck, right? You sound very confident there in the case you made for Fowler. So you're all right. How's the confidence?
Yeah. You're right. No, I was only playing to the naysayers there. You know, I know they enjoy the bad runs, but yeah, over a long period we've been very successful. You know, started tipping in 2001 and only had one losing year. So I don't like blowing the trumpet, but no, we will fight back, and it's still early in the season. You know, we got 6-7 months to go yet. So
exactly.
Don't worry about my pecker.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Okay, who else are you going to go for then, as well as Fowler?
Next best is Hideki Matsuyama, who we tip for the Masters. And I do wonder whether the pressure of becoming Japan's first major champion got to him a little bit more than I thought it would, because he opened with three consecutive bogeys. It was a heartbreaking start to the Masters. But once he did get into his stride, he played as he had all season. He made eight birdies in round three. He's been hitting the ball like a king all season. And he needs, you know, serious tee to green examinations to be seen at his best. And Quail Hollow fits the bill in that regard. And this is a tournament where he had really progressive form figures. 38, 20, 11, 5 in his first four visits to Quail Hollow. You know, threatened to win the USPGA there. And then last year, that trend went backwards when he opened with a 77. But I think we can forgive that, because he was struggling with a wrist injury and a thumb niggle at the start of last year. So he wasn't fully fit for that one. So, this time he's in great nick. Third at Torrey Pines in January, 15th in Phoenix, 9th at Riviera, 8th at Sawgrass. Beat Dustin Johnson in the match play. And then, as I say, did all right in spells in the Masters. So I think Quail Hollow, a great fit for Hideki Matsuyama. He'd be my next best.
And also,
I ummed and ahed for a long time on this one. He was the closest to being left out. But, you know, shaving the shortlist has contributed to my downfall this year. We should have had six for the Masters, and I would have had Tiger Woods. But I've kept Webb Simpson in this week. Yeah, I was very close to shaving it down to three, but I've kept Webb Simpson in. We're going for four selections. Webb Simpson become one of the most consistent players on the planet. He's literally playing in his own backyard this week. Literally playing in his own backyard. Knows the course like the back of his hand. Leo lives in Quail Hollow. He's sleeping in his own bed. He's come close to winning this tournament twice before. His record in North Carolina generally is superb. His maiden win came in the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina. And I think the key to having Simpson on your side this week is that the weather gods have come good for him. I've got an old school friend who lives in Charlotte, so I've got some decent weather reports over the last few weeks. It's been really, really hot there. They got their there's predictions for their highest temperature since 1959 this week in Charlotte. Like, so they really extreme temperatures. So the course is drier than it's ever been. So Simpson's going to get lots of run on the ball, and I think he'll be able to keep up with the powerhouses this week. Previously at Quail Hollow, in less favourable conditions, he finished fourth in 2012. He had a final round 73 in 2012. Rory McIlroy was the only player to beat him in 2015. So he's had his chances before. This time, the course is in better shape for him. He finished fifth in the Masters. Sorry, I've got to get this. He finished fifth at the Masters. Webb Simpson is a terrible fit for the Masters. Augusta works against everything that he's good at. And he finished fifth, his best ever Masters finish. And so, yeah, that's the top three. And then we've got one more at bigger prices. Do you want that one?
Well, why not?
Why the hell not? One more at bigger prices. Aaron Wise, he's been very well back this week. So get on as quickly as you can. He's been very well back for good reason. This was the 2018 US Tour Rookie of the Year. He's bursting with potential. Made a very slow start to the year. But his Masters debut last time out, he finished 17th. That's a fantastic effort. He improved the score each day. 75, 71, 68, 67. Nobody betted 67 in the final round of the Masters. So an amazing debut at Augusta. And last year at Quail Hollow was his Wells Fargo debut, and Wise finished second. He finished second. He pushed Jason Day all the way, and as I say, Jason Day made those couple of late birdies to beat him. So, yeah, I think Aaron Wise, his season's going to be kick-started by that Augusta debut, and he's a huge talent, one of my favourite players.
Okay, excellent. So when Webb Simpson, he's got a house that backs onto the course, is he, Steve?
Yeah, he lives in Quail Hollow. He's a Quail Hollow member.
Would he have mates over, do you think? If you were him, would you invite other, your tour buddies to stay, or would you just keep it as your own little haven and let them like go to the local hotel sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to help having lots of his friends and family there to support him. You know,
Who are his buddies on tour?
Well, he's a very, very religious man, isn't he? So he likes going to his Bible classes. Bubba's big into the Bible.
Aaron Baddeley, he likes it, doesn't he?
Aaron Baddeley is a phenomenal worshipper. Yeah, I remember he once did a sermon at the... where was it? He did a sermon on the 18th Green, and I can't remember where it was. He got up really early to provide a sermon for the gallery before play started. I think it was Phoenix, maybe. I don't know. We got the Lord on our side this week with Simpson.
Excellent. Jolly good. Anything else you like? What's your view on McIlroy? Because obviously all the market focuses on him. He's 6-1 favourite. Oh, let me give you a show, by the way. Sorry, that was remiss of me. 6-1 Rory. You can get 11-1 Jason Day. 12 Fowler. 14-1 Justin Rose. 20 Matsuyama and Simpson. 25 Finau. 25 Sergio. 28 Mickelson. 28 Casey. 33 Gazza, Woodland and Stenson, 40. Well, good field. What's the negative for Rory? Why didn't he make the staking plan, Steve?
Well, it's price, really. Yeah, I just couldn't get excited by the price. I think he might struggle to motivate himself for this one. I mean, it was all building up to the Masters. You know, but prior to the Masters, he was playing well, you know, building towards the ultimate goal of the career Grand Slam. You know, that went horribly wrong. Never in contention at Augusta, and then you know, he's got to start again. There's a really sort of weird psychological reason for opposing him, but if he wins this week, everyone would be saying, oh yeah, you know, he bottled it at the Masters, he was playing great beforehand, and then he's playing great again. So yeah, I don't know, I think there's a little seed in his head that perhaps just ease himself back into it and then get ready for the majors.
Good field though, Steve, looking forward to this week.
Yeah, it's always a ruddy good event, this one. Yeah, I do like the Wells Fargo.
Okay, so that is the American Tour event in Europe. Or it's not in Europe, actually, it's in China. It's the China Open, but it's on the European Tour. No doubt big money on offer. Well, first of all, Steve, what sort of time if we wanted to follow this stuff live? I mean, I guess Saturday and Sunday, if you just want to join in at the business end, you're up at the crack of dawn, aren't you, to follow this one?
Yeah. I think 12:30 a.m. is the kickoff time. But it doesn't come on the telly until about 7:30 a.m. I think. So yeah, you got that classic moment when you wake up in the morning where you grab your smartphone, go downstairs to the lavatory, and work yourself from the bottom of the leaderboard up, because you've missed out on 7 hours of action. Before it comes on the telly. So you're going to have a lot of smartphone action early on, and then some early morning live golf.
And how do you tend to take that one? So say you get to the you'll wake up Saturday morning, check what happened in round two, will you? Oh, well, no, what's going on in round three? Do you tend to get a little traumatised, a bit stressed as you're there, gently scrolling up, hoping that the name of your selections doesn't come through? We've all done it, haven't we?
Yeah, we all done it. Yeah. Stress tends to be quite a key component of my life when the golfing week started. But I just make my excuses to the family and I just spend 10 minutes in the lavatory getting my head together.
Excellent. Okay, right. Here's the betting. It's 14 to 1 Hao Tong Lee, 16 to 1 Suri, 18 Campeo, 20 Van Rooyen, 20 Jordan Spieth. God, it's the same old bloody face. What is going on with the European Tour, Steve? I mean, this is a big money event. What a crap field.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's in the middle of majors season. Oh. And if you can, you know, if you can play at Quail Hollow, you're going to play at Quail Hollow, aren't you?
Oh, it's rubbish field. Never mind, a winner's a winner, whether the field is rubbish or good. And the winner will be, Steve?
Well, the winner will be the cheerful Chinaman, Hao Tong Lee. And, he's a fantastic character.
He looks a real laugh, doesn't he?
He is a real laugh. He's a real feel-good character to be around. So, I think you will enjoy it if you back Hao Tong Lee and he's parading the trophy on Sunday. His interviews are always fantastic value. And he's won the China Open before. You know, he loves performing at home. Very early in his career as a youngster, well, he's still 23, but as a teenager, he was a prolific winner of low-grade events in China. Then he lost a playoff at this course for the 2015 Shenzhen International. We must give punters a clear picture of which tournaments have been played here. The Shenzhen International 2015 to 2017, and then prior to that, it was the 2014 China Open. So we've got 4 years of course form here. Hao Tong Lee, since that playoff defeat to Kiradek Avibamrat, he's taken his career up several levels. He won the China Open, as I say, in 2016, a final round 64, won by three shots. It was never in any doubt once he got going on Sunday. Then he beat Rory McIlroy in that famous 2018 Dubai Desert Classic duel. He's twice finished second in the Turkish Airlines Open. He was third in the Open Championship, another amazing final round. This year, runner-up to Dustin Johnson in the Saudi International. Hao Tong Lee's an elite player now. You know, he's the highest ranked player in this field, fully deserves favouritism. Yeah, this is not the nervous, wiry kid that we saw 4 years ago. He's got much taller, he's bulked up, he averages 310 yards off the tee now, he's piled on driving distance. His short game's always been ludicrously good. He made four eagles in the third round of the Saudi International, four eagles in a round. I mean, this guy's got like magic hands. And the last time we saw him, the last time he played, he closed with a 68 in the final round of the Masters. A 68 in the final round of the Masters. Fantastic. It's only his second visit to the Masters. He played with Tiger Woods and John Rahm for the first two rounds. So immense pressure. First time he's ever played with Tiger. So he made an understandably slow start and then finished like a train. He's nicely rested since. You've got to remember, this is China, is miles away for most of these players. Jet lag. Most of the field laden with jet lag. He's been in China for 2 weeks. You know, he's based in Shanghai. The course is set up perfectly for him. There's been loads of rain. A nice soft course for him. Yeah, Lee will not be beaten.
12, 14 to 1 sounds like a big price based on the case you've made there, Steve. Are you pleased with the price?
I think you're right. Yeah. I think he should be single figures.
I'll tell you what, if you're looking at people with course form, or tournament form anyway, Alexander Levy's won it twice. He's finished third once. I mean, he's brimming with course for with event form, isn't he? Let's say
he is. No, he's got a fantastic record in China, but he WD'd from a tournament not that long ago with injury, and then he missed a cut. He was rubbish last week. So yeah, I just think there's a small injury cloud over Alexander Levy.
Okay, so the main course is Hao Tong Lee, and there's a side order on a few others, I guess. Is there, Steve?
There's a side order, and the biggest side order is Nacho Elvira. We had him last week. He hit some loose drives early on last week. Opened with a 77. Missed the cut by a shot in the end. But I wouldn't worry too much about that. I think it's just a blip. Much more room off the tee at Genzon. I think he'll slip back into the groove that he was showing prior to that. He was second, and sixth in these three events prior to last week. And I think Jorge Campillo getting off the mark in Morocco, I think that could serve as a bit of inspiration for Elvira. Compatriots, peers, exactly the same age. I think Elvira will feel it's his turn this week. He's won in China on the Challenge Tour, the 2013 Foshan Open, quite a similar track to what they're facing this week. He's played well at Genzon on previous visits. Last time he teed up at Genzon, he'd missed the cut in his four previous European Tour events. He was in abysmal form, made a bit of an edgy start, understandably. Then he went 10 under par for the weekend. So, Nacho Elvira would be my idea of the next best.
And your other selections are, Steve?
And Ross Fisher. our old friend Ross Fisher, Ascot man. I think he'll be in the thick of things for that. He's got a fantastic record in China. He finished fourth in the 2005 China Open on his first visit to China. He's been around for a long time. He's since finished second, third and sixth in the HSBC Champions. Always a stellar field for that one. And he's come close to winning that. Most recently, sixth in the 2017 China Open. And he's performed at Genzon. He's performed at Genzon well. Third in the 2017 Shenzhen International the last time we went to Genzon. Long driver, as I say, there's been lots of rain at Genzon. He'll love the setup. I think he'll set up birdies galore. And if half decent week with the putter, Fisher will be in there. Finished 13th last time out in the Maybank. Much less suitable terrain. Sean Crocker, as mentioned at the start of the show, Zimbabwe-born American. I think he's going places. Finished like a train in the Kenya Open. Finished 12th there. Then tied for second in Morocco last week. He's got some good form in China. Last year on the Challenge Tour, finished third in China in two events. And last week, he had a new caddy, an old school friend who's given up his job in Beverly Hills to become Crocker's caddy. And they gelled superbly. I think the call, this is his debut. It's a Genzon debut for Crocker, but yeah, he's got loads of power. I think he's perfect for him. And then the last one is just a speculative play at a massive price. I was only going to have four, but when I saw that John Catlin was 250-1, I thought that was a crazy price. John Catlin, another big hit in American, won three times on the Asian Tour last year. One of those wins was in China. One of them was in Taiwan or Chinese Taipei, whatever you like to call it. So he's got some great form on similar assignments. I know he's not found Top Gear recently, but he started the year on the US Tour. He finished 44th in the Phoenix Open. So he had a couple of invites because of his exploits on the Asian Tour last year. So, yeah, John Catlin at 250-1, I can see getting involved.
Okay, excellent. Right then, anything else we need to add, Steve, or is that it? Who's the best bet of the week if people are only going to have one golf bet?
Best bet of the week. Well, I think it's going to be a really uplifting week because we talked about Hao Tong Li, but Ricky Fowler's another really likable character, isn't he? So you pair those two in an each-way double. I think you could get a really good feel-good week out of it because, even as a neutral, you'd be cheering on Hao Tong Li and Ricky Fowler, both tremendously good eggs. And, Fowler Li each-way double.
Okay, let's spin through the tips again. Wells Fargo, Steve.
Ricky Fowler, Hideki Matsuyama, Webb Simpson, Aaron Wise.
And the China Open.
Hao Tong Li, Nacho Elvira, Ross Fisher, Sean Crocker, John Catlin.
Excellent. What's on next week? You probably won't care. You'll be changing nappies and cooing over your new son.
Well, we got the Betfred British Masters. And then
where's that? Because I'm sure I went to that in October. What do they do that? Biannually now. Is it biennial or biannual?
It has been switched in the calendar, I think.
Isn't it?
It's not at Walton. It's not at Walton Heath this year.
Where is it?
It's at Hillside. I think Tommy Fleetwood's hosting
that. He's
the tournament host. And then our other tournament next week.
Oh, it's the Byron Nelson, isn't it?
That's it, the Byron Nelson. I think we've also got a seniors major, if you like, the old round bellies action. So, yeah, busy week while I'm changing nappies.
Okay, and what's been happening? Did Weymouth get the job done?
Yes, glorious, glorious title victory.
Did you go?
Yeah, I went, yeah. Tremendous atmosphere, almost 3,000 there for that one. 0-0 at halftime, and then a lot of tension. And then 3-0 victory in the end. I just hope we can keep hold of Mark Moseley. Mark Moseley is a fantastic young manager. I think he'll be snapped up by a bigger club soon. It's nice to see Weymouth heading towards Football League.
Did you celebrate exuberantly or with a bit of dignity?
No, exuberantly, yeah. I mean, it's been an amazing sporting month. I mean, Tiger Woods wins his first major for 11 years. Weymouth haven't won a league for 13 years. You know, there's been, close to going out of business just three or four years ago. And now they're, back on track to the promised land, you've got to, when the chance to express joy is there, it's there so rarely, isn't it, Bruce?
Oh, definitely, mate.
You need to fully engage in that.
You certainly do. Just a quick one. Who's going to win the snooker? I know you like your snooker.
I'm just hoping Neil Robertson doesn't because, as I told you a little while ago, I had a good look at that tournament. I thought Robertson at 5-1 each way was the bet because his draw was so easy. And I'm just praying that someone can knock him out. So I'm cheering on John Higgins to get him knocked out. I think Robertson's going to get the job done, unfortunately.
No, Trump will win. I laid Robertson. I thought it was a terrible price. I didn't get it at all, but it shows what
just
I know.
Just the draw, isn't it? It was just the draw. All the other big guns were housed in the other
I
half.
I think everyone gets obsessed about the draw. You've got to beat them all to win, as people completely wrongly say. Okay, and you're not going to let on the baby's name yet, are you? This is a big secret. This will come out after the birth, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if it's out by the USPGA, because I promised I'll work USPGA week, whatever happens baby-wise. So we'll make announcements then.
Jolly good. Well, if I don't speak to you before then, good luck to you and Nicola with the birth. Hope all goes well. Hope the tips go well as well, Steve. Be nice if we can make it a weekend to remember with some winners as well as the new nipper entering this lovely world. Anything else to add, Steve? We're all done.
No, we're all done. I'll see you at the USPGA.
Jolly good. See you, mate. Thanks very much indeed for watching and listening. Don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, do please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you are listening. We're now available on, what is it, Rob? Spotify, that's it. Sorry, I still don't know what Spotify is. I must discover that. Right then, we've got Football Postcast tomorrow and I am back on Friday to look ahead to a fantastic weekend of flat action and also Punchestown. So do join us for those.
Give them the whole!